text 12. Chakruh samarg yajur mantrair. Chakruh samarg yajur mantrair. Vadhva raksham dvijottamaha. Vadhva raksham dvijottamaha. Purohitortava vidvai. Purohitotharva vidvai. Juhava grahashantaye. Juhava grahashantaye. Chakruh samragya jurmantraye. Vadhva raksham vijottamaha. Purohitortharva vidvai. Juhava grahashantaye. Chakruh samarugya jurmantraye. Vadhva raksham vijottamaha. Purohitotharva vidvai. Juhava grahashantaye. Samaya jurman. Chakruhu effected. Samarugyajuhu of the Samarug and the Yajurveda. Mantraihi with chants. Vadvaha of the bride. Raksham the protection. Vijottamaha first class brahmanas. Purohitaha, the priest. Atharvavit, who was expert in the mantras of the Atharva Veda. Vai, indeed. Juhava, poured oblations of ghee. Graha, the controlling planets. Shantaye, to pacify. Translation, the best of the brahmanas chanted mantras of the Rig, Sama, Yajurvedas for the bride's protection And the priest, learned in the Atharva Veda, offered oblations to pacify the controlling planets. Purport by disciple Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the Atharva Veda often deals with the pacification of unfavorable planets. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahim Dadati Supadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Damjali Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Jaitanyan Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namo Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpadarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyeva Patitanam Pavane Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vahasadhi Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 The best of the Brahmanas chanted mantras of the Rig, Sama and Yajurvedas for the bride's protection, and the priest learned in the Atharvaveda offered oblations to pacify the controlling planets. In any of the basic Vedic yajnas, it is prescribed that at least there should be four qualified brahmanas, qualified in the four Vedas. There is a hota. Hota means one who is inviting all the demigods. He is called a hota. So his job is to invite. And he is a Rigvedi. And then Udgata. Udgata is a Samavedi who sings, and when the guest comes, he speaks, he glorifies him and pleases him by his singing that personality's qualities and glories. Then there is Advaryu, who is in the Yajurveda expert, who knows exact place where to seat him, what are the ingredients that has to be offered to him, and what kind of worship needs to be offered to him. And then there is the Brahma, who is like the referee, who is like the watching everything, that and that is the Atharvavedi, who makes sure that all the rituals are perfectly performed and the success is achieved ultimately. Because if the Vedic mantras are really perfectly performed and very the brahmanas are pure and the mantras are perfectly chanted, it has to give the desired result. So make sure that everything is perfect. The Atharvavedi would just make sure that everything is going perfectly. We hear in the scriptures how one mantra was chanted wrong and it had a reverse result. In the case of Dhritarasur, yajna was performed to get a person who will kill Indra. Like that. And then eventually become the friends of Indras. They were the 49 Maruts. So many other incidents like that. So the purpose of any Vedic ritual is basically to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and seek blessings and protection for whatever is being done. That is the essence. Vishnu aradhanarthaya swaputrasya udayaya cha. In the 10th canto, when Nanda Maharaj performed the Vedic ceremony, called all the Brahmanas, performed all the rituals, it is described, Nanda Maharaj had only two purposes. And it is explained that the purpose of all Vedic rituals are this. Because no ritual is complete without pleasing the Supreme Lord. So anushtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. So any ritual, any Vedic ritual, the purpose of it is first and foremost to please the Lord. Because if the root of the tree is watered, then every part of the tree is nourished. And the second, swaputrasya udayaya cha. He was celebrating the birthday of his son. Of course, he is none other than the Supreme Lord himself. But he wanted blessings and protection for his child. Similarly, some Vedic rituals are meant for protecting the house from all evil influences. Graha Shanti, Dash Shanti. From all direction, there should be Shanti from this direction, from up, above, from bottom, from inside, from outside. So, Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Here, Graha Shanti. All the Shanti or let there be peace. No disturbance from the influence of the planets. That is the expectation of Maharaj Bhishmaka following the Vedic rituals. It's called the perfect, the best of the Brahmanas. And they are chanting all these mantras. So that there may be Shanti. At one particular place, the title was Attaining Peace. And I was asked to speak. And there were people from other religious institutions who were asked to speak. I was thinking what I should speak. So I said, there are three levels of peace. There is superficial peace, then there is middle level peace, and then there is deep peace. Because peace is of various types. Even in the graveyard there is peace. Bottom of the ocean there is peace. Up in the sky, if you go far away in the sky, you know, beyond the atmospheric, if you pierce the atmosphere and go in the, you know, ethereal space, there is peace. But that's not what is really aspired by a living entity. So peace can be of various. After the war there is peace. After all the Bhishma Parva and all that, there is Shanti Parva. And when the Pandavas were in the forest, Vana Parva, there was Shanti. But there was internal disturbance in Duryodhan and all the others. Dhritarashtra was extremely disturbed. There was no peace for them. And neither for Bhima, and nor for Arjuna, nor for Yudhishthira. Externally there was peace, but there was no peace. And after the whole battle, no one remained. It was completely peaceful. That was another type of peace. Of course, the ladies, all the ladies, Stri Parva, completely mourning Parva. One Parva is called Stri Parva, and in that, one is Shraddha Parva and mourning Parva. Everyone was mourning. So that kind of shanti. So there are three levels of shanti. First level of shanti is generally propagated by the new age kind of processes, which in the name of spirituality goes like some kind of breathing exercises, some kind of postures, some kind of meditation by which you don't allow any thoughts, because thoughts are very disturbing. That's the whole point. Thoughts are disturbing. And so therefore, just don't think. So sometimes people go for some kind of a retreat where for few days they are not supposed to talk anything. Of course, you can't tell them don't think anything. They try also not to think of anything. And certain postures, certain procedures which balance the body and mind, etc. And it is a fact. It is actually a fact. It works. Pranayama. You can control your thoughts by your breathing procedure according to Ashtanga Yoga. But then the problem is, as soon as they come out of that place, or as soon as they come out of that situation, back into the world, there is tremendous disturbance. So what is the next level of peace? The root cause of all this peace, peace being disturbed, is material desires. Therefore in the second chapter Krishna says, there is another level of peace, the mid-level. Apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudram apaha pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shanti mapnoti na kama kami. As long as there are material desires in the heart, these desires are like stones thrown in the still clear lake of the heart. And these desires, material desires, they disturb the mind, because you are not at peace till you fulfill that desire. And the nature of material desire is, the more you try to fulfill it, the more you... Yesterday we were hearing about the itch. Yesterday or day before we heard about the itch. See, material desires like the itch. God forbid you should never get. But I got it once. Once I went to one particular place very near Kolhapur, into one forest. And I got this. And itch is like that. It's very disturbing. So, when you scratch, it gives temporary relief, but comes out with double force. Then you have to scratch really hard. Then it gives peace for some time, and then comes with triple force. Eventually, because of scratching, there is a wound. If you don't scratch, you're miserable. The itch is burning. And if you scratch, it's painful. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, apuryama achala pratishtham, this very steadily situated ocean, even though there are so many rivers in the rainy season, so many rivers flow into the ocean. Rivers are, you know, overflowing, and they all come into the ocean. The amazing thing is, ocean never dries up, or ocean never overflows. And when there are, in the summer, practically it becomes like a small stream, still the oceans doesn't dry up. This is the example given in the second chapter by Krishna. He says, apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudraha. All the rivers are flowing. Apaha pravishanti yadvat. Tadvat kamayam pravishanti. so many desires through the senses, through the mind, through the intelligence, through all situations, so many stimulus are, it's like stone being thrown in the heart, which just disturb the peaceful heart. As they say, neighbor's envy, owner's pride. If somebody has something, I should also have it. Somebody sees, you see something and suddenly that desire comes. Why not me? The person may be properly situated, he is happy probably. But then he suddenly looks at someone who is slightly better, says something that I don't. Actually, this is the root cause of the continuity in this material existence. How I wish, Guru Yantrabhu was giving one class, very beautifully said, how I wish, it could be anything, somebody who has a straight hair, how I wish I had curly hairs. And somebody who had curly hairs, he says, how I wish it was straight. Somebody who's dark may think, how I wish I was fair. Somebody who is fair thinks, how I wish I was dark. Somebody who is short, he thinks, how I wish I was tall. Somebody who is too tall, he says, I wish I was medium so that I would get, you know, proper match. Somebody who is fat, thinking of, enviously looks at a thin fellow. And the thin fellow is always looking at some other person. It's a very relative world. So many desires. And he was expressing how every desire is a seed for next life. Krishna says, all right, you want to be tall? One life you will be tall. You want to run fast? Okay. I'll give you one life only for running. How I wish I could sing nicely. Okay, you will become a Gandharva. You want to do this, you will become this. Every seed, every thought or a desire is like sowing a seed for next life. And to fulfill all these desires, imagine how many. Therefore it is, and in that life you will have more desires. And it will just continue. So therefore he says, apuryamanam, just like a devotee's heart, a yogi's heart, in this reference he refers to a bhakti yogi, his heart should be like an ocean. In the ocean, sometimes so many rivers flowing, doesn't make a difference to the ocean. And sometimes no water flows, doesn't make a difference. This is the heart of the, you know, person. And how this is achieved? This can only happen, otherwise there is a tendency that it will overflow. The ocean is so large, that rivers flowing doesn't make a difference, substantial difference. Or rivers not flowing doesn't make a difference to the ocean. Because it's so huge. But our heart is not so huge. The desires are huge. Therefore, one desire can overflow from our heart. And it keeps haunting us completely. And that is the, at the end of our life, we think of that desire. And whichever is the most prominent one, manifests. Others are in the waiting list. It will keep coming. So, how do we make the heart big? Physically also, big heart means problem. You have to have a particular heart. The heart should be the size of your fist with your thumb put inside. This is the size of the heart. According to medical, if I understand right, this is the size of the heart. So, the heart should be connected to some big source. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokam maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. So in the fifth chapter, last verse, Krishna gives the Shanti Mantra. There he says, you are not big, but you connect to a big personality, Krishna. Knowing fully well that he knows best, when he thinks whatever I need, he will provide. There is difference between wants and needs. Wants are unlimited, but needs are basic. A devotee who is convinced that two things agitate the heart. When we want to be the bhokta, when you want to be the enjoyer, and proof of enjoyership, who is the proof? Who is an enjoyer? Who is the controller? If you can control something, then you can enjoy it. If things go out of your order, you become disturbed. So the moment we realize that we are not the controllers and we are not the enjoyers, automatically we know something else, someone else is moving the strings. So we just watch. And tamse rikshasa bharata, just tolerate. That's the nature of this world, dualities. And that tolerance is easy for a person who can see who is behind this activity. Behind this activity is my lover, one who loves me. Behind these activities is my well-wisher. Just like sometimes a mother may slap the child, he goes and clasps the mother. Even though she is slapping him, still he goes, "I'm a baby." Because even though she is slapping, she knows, and child knows, she's my well-wisher. So behind all these activities, when we see the hand of Krishna, who has just designed this whole creation to gradually bring us towards him. One time I was in one center. Morning I had to quickly take bath and go for Mangalarti. So there was a huge wash basin. It was not completely slanting, it was like that and like this. It was like more like a what do you call it? Parabola or something. It's like that. Not completely narrow, but straight coming down. And I had to hurry and I had to rinse my mouth and brush my teeth. And as I wanted to switch on the tap full force, suddenly I saw there was an insect which had fallen from the, you know, almost like struggling. Early morning they are like on the last stage of their life. Their lifespan is only one night. But still, I was thinking, maybe 80-year-old and he's, you know, struggling to climb. And I was thinking, for him it must be like a stadium. And poor fellow is trying to climb like this. It goes like this and suddenly goes up like this. So I was thinking, poor thing, he will not be able to climb. But somehow I was very finding it difficult. It was a very funny looking insect with all kinds of fur. So I was finding it, I didn't have so much compassion that without bothering I'll pick it up. I was thinking I should do something to lift it up because I'm getting late for Mangalarti. So I took a leaf and put it in front of it. I got scared and started to run away. And then I was trying to put from wherever it goes, I was trying to put. It was avoiding. It was avoiding. I was getting scared and running away. And suddenly a thought came to me. Probably this is what Krishna is doing. He's trying to lift us up from this material existence by creating a seemingly obstacle. It's not obstacle. Just get on to it. I'll pull you up. That mercy. Now, some cruel person may also put a leaf and pick it up and then crush it or whatever. The insect doesn't have the intelligence to see behind the leaf who is the person. The heart of the person who is, I'm not a great soul of course, the heart of the person was intention. Actually the intention of the person is to lift it up and put it in a nice place. But how does the insect know? He is just seeing something coming, run. Something coming, run. I'm running here, again this comes. And the person is bent upon lifting him, and the insect is bent upon avoiding it. That is our situation. Then early morning, before Mangalarti, I had this realization. When I went for Mangalarti, I had, Krishna, now I know whatever I pray, sometimes you may say yes. Every time you may say yes. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, do the needful. And also give me the intelligence to see that it is coming from you. Your loving hands, designed by your loving heart. And give me the strength to climb on to it. Cling on to it. Tattenu kampam sushamiksha. Anything that comes is a mercy. As Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, sometimes mercy comes from the front, sometimes from the side, sometimes from the back. Mercy from the front means you asked for it, you prayed for it, and you got it. My Lord, I should get this. And you get it. That's called mercy from the front. You looked for it, you anticipated, you prayed, and you got it. Mercy from the side, unexpected lottery. Not lottery. It's not bona fide, according to four relatives. But unexpected, somebody gives Mahaprasad, somebody, or somebody, you get a promotion. I never asked for it, but we observed you, and we noted you're really working hard. Here is a promotion. Here is a raise. Wow! My Lord, I know you are there. I knew it all along. And then there is mercy from the back. The last thing you ever want to happen in your life. The last person you want to confront. The last type of the situation that you want to enter into. And that comes. Takes you by surprise. And at that time, still to see the hand of the Lord behind, that is the Tattenu Kampa verse. Bhunjana eva atmakritam vipaga. Oh, I don't want to exchange my place for anyone else in this world. It's very easy to speak sitting on a Vyasasan when so many people are attentively listening. You can easily impress and get a clap. As long as it only remains in that situation. But then when it actually comes in our life, to see the hand of Krishna is really, so that is this kind of shanti. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram surudam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti. Completely at peace. Deep inside. Externally that person may be active. And generally this could have been the conclusion in that particular program. But I said, this is not the end. So they were all wondering. Is there a fifth level of shanti? I said, no. The goal of life is ashanti. Disturbance. Tremendous anxiety. Back to square one. I said, that's what it is. That is what love of God is. Tremendous anxiety Rukmini is in. Tremendous anxiety Yashoda Mai is in. Ready to take any inconveniences. Ready to tolerate all disturbances. Just to please Krishna. So actually shanti is like the neutral. From the negative, you attain shanti. Shanti is no more negative. Now it is neutral. But that is Brahman realization. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Arjuna, when he was fighting the battle, it's not saying, Om Shanti. Releasing. At peace you can't release. You have to be really angry. And especially when he was killed, his son, Abhimanyu. When Abhimanyu was killed, there was no chance that Abhimanyu could be killed. Next to Krishna and Arjuna, he was the third person. And he was just 16 year old. The way he would tie his kavach, That itself was so enchanting. Nobody could pierce his kavacha. Dronacharya knew actually. Otherwise, people didn't know how to remove his kavacha. And that's how he was not getting killed. He has to be engaged from the front and somebody should come from behind and cut off. And that's how, and then only he can, otherwise no chance. So Arjuna was new. In a fair fight, there is no question of Abhimanyu ever getting defeated. Absolutely no chance. And Dronacharya distracted him, Arjuna, away. He said, Arjun should not be there, otherwise then I can do it. I'll kill all the, I can capture Yudhishthir. Duryodhana's proposal was just capture Yudhishthir. He said, I'll do it. But only thing is, take Arjuna away. If he is there, I can't do it. Alright. Some Saptakas will come. They took a vow. They are like the suicide squad. They took a vow, some Saptaka. Said, we will not get back from the battlefield till we kill Arjun or we get killed. Obviously, the latter would happen. They were powerful people, determined to kill. And they took away Arjun from a long distance. And that time, the Pandavas were caught. And Chakravyuha was there. And somehow, anyway, that's a long story, but Abhimanyu entered. And Abhimanyu was killed. Brutally murdered. Absolutely unfair. Six people, powerful people. And then, when Arjuna came back that night, nobody, none of the brothers could look him straight in the eye because they felt they are responsible. They should not have let him go. But he went. He was so chivalrous, he went. Happily he went without telling them that I don't know how to come back. And that time Arjuna became so angry. No. First he started lamenting. Cried like anything. And then he became angry. So angry he said, by tomorrow evening if I don't avenge those people who have been responsible for the murder of my child, I will enter fire. So some devotee asked Prabhupada, he had heard the whole Gita, you should not lament. Ashochan anvashochastvam. He had heard the Gita and he understood the Gita. And that's how he agreed to fight. And you're not supposed to become angry, overly angry. He became lamented. What kind of person is this? You should have peace. You should be peaceful. Even in the middle of warfare, deep in, just like on the top there are very, very big waves in an ocean. But deep in the ocean there is stillness. So Prabhupada was asked by this question. How can Arjuna lament? How could Arjuna become angry? And then Prabhupada replied something to the effect that, did he stop the battle? That is a $1 million question. Krishna, I gave my life for you and this is what I get in result. My son being brutally slaughtered. Here is the Gandiva. Here are the quiver. Hare Krishna. He could have said that. To hell with this battle, to hell with bhakti, to hell with you. He could have said that. Sometimes we do it. We don't grossly say it out of etiquette in a Vaishnava society. But somewhere the feeling is there. What is this? Does he really exist? Does he really know? Or is he busy having his pastimes? And then suddenly we think, no, we had heard Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada, all the acharyas saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Somewhere the thoughts does come. So there is shanti, meaning for personal expectations, that is laid to rest. But now the only anxiety is how to please Krishna. We were discussing about enjoyment yesterday, right? Mahaprabhu asked this question. That is the anxiety of a devotee. What will make Krishna happy? What will Krishna enjoy. So that anxiety is actually the aspiration of a devotee. People come to Krishna or people come to God, relieve me from my anxiety. And a pure devotee of the Lord, he is asking, or his aspiration is to become full of anxiety. And even for that matter, for fulfillment of that, a person is ready to go accept all kind of inconveniences. And that gives so much happiness to Krishna. And when Krishna becomes happy, a devotee not only is happy, but he is enjoying it. That's why it's very difficult to understand face and the emotion of a exalted devotee of the Lord. Vaishnavira Kriya Mudra. One time, you know, there is a picture of Prabhupada clapping like this, but he's very grave, but he's clapping. Almost tears in his eyes. And somebody looked at that picture and said, Prabhupada, you are very morose here. Are you looking very sad? And you don't understand the signs of rasa or something to that effect, Prabhupada said. Because they were the Bhaktivedanta players. Just fresh, and they put up a beautiful show of Krishna Leela. Prabhupada was so a devotee of the Lord, when he sees, he enters into that pastime. So he sees those particular character as that. So he gets into that mood and literally tears. And he's clapping. Tears in his eyes, but he's clapping. Sometimes they may not, people may not be able to appreciate and understand. So that kind of. this kind of anxiety is much beyond the shanti. All these people are doing, but even though they are chanting for all the shanti mantras, Rukmini is in anxiety. But that anxiety is actually is for pleasure of Krishna. And that's actually what is to be aspired by devotees. Hare Krishna. I'd just like to one more thing, yeah, since it is regarding graha. Graha shanti, right? Graha shante. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of Avanti Brahman. There was a Brahmana who was living in the country, Avanti. Very rich, but extremely miserly, greedy and angry. He wouldn't give a single paivan to his, he neither would enjoy himself nor give to his family members. All were becoming unfavorable to him. And eventually, by thieves, by time, by family members, and by destiny, he lost everything in due course. Didn't have a single pie with him. And naturally, everyone rejected him. Threw him off. And then suddenly he went out and people were abusing him, throwing things at him. And suddenly at that time, he developed tremendous renunciation. Genuine renunciation. And then he was going, and when people were mistreating him, he tells a mantra. He chants a particular verse. And he says, Nayam janome sukhadukha hetu na devatatma grihakarma kalaha manah param karanamamananti samsara chakram parivartayedyat. Very beautifully he says, the Brahmana said, the people who are mistreating him, these people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. Neither are the demigods, nor my own body, nor the planets, nor my past work or time. Na ayam jano me sukhadukha hetu. Not these people. Na deva. Not the demigods. Na atma. Not my body and mind. Not my body and self. Graha. Not that, you know, Some graha is coming. Saturn is very strong. 7.5. Na devatatma graha. Karma, not my past. Karma. Kala, not that abhi. Rahu Kala, it is some particular Kala is not favorable. He says, manahapara, rather it is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the creation of material life. And then he says, the powerful mind actuates the functions of the material modes from which evolve the different kinds of material activities in the modes of goodness, ignorance and passion. From the activities in each of these modes, develop the corresponding status of life. And look at the purport. In the mode of goodness, one considers oneself to be a saintly or wise person. In the mode of passion, one struggles for material success. And in the mode of ignorance, one becomes cruel, lazy and sinful. By the combination of the material modes, one identifies oneself as a demigod, a king, a rich capitalist, a wise scholar, etc. These conceptions are material designations generated from the modes of nature, and they arrange themselves according to the tendency of the powerful mind to enjoy temporary sense gratification. The word baliya in this verse, meaning very strong, indicates that the material mind becomes insensitive to intelligent advice. Even if you are informed that we are committing many sins and offenses in order to earn money, we may still think that money should be acquired at all costs, since without it one can neither perform religious ceremonies nor gratify the senses with beautiful women, mansions and vehicles. Once the money is achieved, one suffers further problems. But the stubborn mind will never heed good advice in this regard. One must therefore give up mental concoction and control the mind in Krishna consciousness, as exemplified here by the Brahmana from Avanti. When Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the characteristic of a self-realized person in the second chapter? Sthitapragyasya ka bhasha, samadhistasya keshava. How do I recognize a self-realized soul? Does he have a halo around the head? Does he have some extra hands manifesting in special occasions? Does he, you know, have peace all over his face? What exactly? How do I recognize who is self-realized? And he says, prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmanyeva atmana tushtaha sthitapragyastadochit. That first qualification, he says. Who is satisfied in whichever situation and not disturbed by manogata, caused by mind. Let me tell you one thing. It is actually, we always say mind, mind, mind. Really speaking, mind is not the real bad guy. Actually the mind is not. And then you quoted the shloka. Actually, the mind is a simple, dull fool. It has only binary system. Like computer, 0 and 1, 0 and 1. The mind understands only one language. I like it, I don't like it. I like it, I don't like it. Sankalpa, vikalpa. That's all. The mind has only two language. I like it, one language, and that is two divisions. I like, I don't like. It's very simple. Mind is very simple. But when that mind is under the influence of the false ego, it's like the owner of the house. Owner of the house is like the false ego. And the mind is like the security guard. Now the security guard is a simple fellow. You tell him, you allow only these people and don't allow those people. Finish. Allow only these objects, don't allow those objects. Simple. He has no enemy, no friends. Anyone who comes? Open the bag. Ting, ting, ting. He doesn't care who you are. He cares Boss has told me, sound comes, check it. Otherwise, you can go inside. A mind is like that. It doesn't understand. I like, I don't like. I like, don't like. Allow this, don't allow this. Allow this, don't allow. That's all. It depends what we tell the, what the owner tells the security. What is to be allowed? What is not to be allowed? Icha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sargeyanti paramtapa. The ego now is the controller of the house. Actually, he is not the controller. Owner of the house has been someone else. But this fellow is a cheat. He has removed the owner and sat down. And then he says, allow only those people who are like Rukmi, telling, allow my friends, Shalva, Viduratha, all these people you allow. Krishna, don't allow. Huh? The false ego is like Rukmi, taking control. And Bhishmaka is like the self. Poor fellow, helpless. Kya karu? He is too powerful. He controls everything. And therefore everyone is doing the same thing. So therefore, the real culprit is actually not the security. If he insults you, you don't get disturbed with him. You get disturbed with the fellow who ordered him. Mujhe kyun andar nahi bera? Saab ne bola, aap nahi, chalo niklo. He become angry with that. But foolishly we are shouting at the security. Tell the person who has ordered him. It is the false ego. Now the mind has become subservient to the false ego. He wants to maintain him and protect him. Allow only his friends and throw away others. Anyone that is not supportive to my master, the false ego, I'll throw him out. And therefore, the mind rejects the holy name, mantra. And therefore, in his book, Japa, I strongly recommend everyone to read this particular book. Practically one of the best books on the holy name that I have ever come across. Where there are no techniques. But everything is threadbare expressed. It's called called Japa by Bhurijan Prabhu. And there, especially chapter 4 to 10. Excellent. The mind, along with its extension, the intelligence, the false ego, the covered consciousness. They are all mind actually. The subtle body in its grossest form is the mind. In a more subtler form is the intelligence. Little more subtler is the false ego, and subtlest is the covered consciousness, as explained by Kapila in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And these, in six chapters, Prabhuji very amazingly explains. He exposes threadbare the nature of the mind, the weapons of the mind, and how to overcome them. Once you know your enemy, first of all you have to recognize who your enemy is. Number one. Number two, know his strengths and know his weaknesses. And number three, equip yourself with the right weapons to overcome that. And that is why Mahaprabhu has given us Cheto Darpanam Arjanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Because the holy name is meant to destroy the false ego and control the mind. Take the security to our side. Bribe that fellow. Let me go. And go and kill that rascal, false owner. These are devotional commando tactics. Befriend the mind. That's why Raghunath Das Goswami and all that. Dushta mana tumi kishara vaishnava. Whole thing is preach to the mind. Hey, don't serve the false master, man. This is not your master. The real master is Krishna. This fellow, what he is paying you is all stolen money. Did you know that? And he, once you get connected to the big guy, the real owner, he will pay you 10 times more. Really? Come on. What should I do? Kuch nahi. Just hear the mantra. Just the mantra. Don't allow intelligence is the manager of the house. The manager comes. Kisko bola, kya bola? Just chant. And gradually then gather the manager also. Once you enter the security, then catch the manager, the intelligence. Tell him, you are serving, you are managing a wonderfully managing property of a crook. You better let us come together, throw this guy out. And let get the intelligence. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunanda. But first the mind. Allow the owner to get in. He will do the needful. You can't kill that. You can't kill the owner. He's very powerful. Allow the real owner to get in. And chanting the holy name is allowing Krishna to get inside. He will do the needful. Rukmini could not handle Rukmi. What to speak of Shishupal and all that. But she knew, if Krishna comes, he can do it. But will he come? Will he respond? Yes, if you are as desperate as Rukmini, if you are, you do your part. Your part. She did her part. She was not relaxed and say, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. You know, you have ears everywhere, you can hear my heart. She was practical also. She wrote a letter, chose a trustworthy Brahmana, and gave the message. She did her best. And then, she said, Krishna, now, you have to take over. I can't handle this. So actually when we are chanting the holy name, we are sending a love letter to Krishna. Please Krishna, this Rukmi has captured my heart and he wants to hand over to Shishupal, Maya Devi. Serve this rascal as my master for eternity. Today I want to surrender, please. Now I have got Sampratam Labdha Kamadinam Katina Katidha Palita Durnidesha. By serving these masters, they are never satisfied. They are always hankering for more. And they are exploiters. Today I surrender. You please take over. Now I have got my intelligence. My intelligence has told me, this is the real master who really loves you. Who really will protect you? Who will make you peaceful, really peaceful? And everything else is under his control. All the graha is under his control. Because actually, above all these grahas, navagraha, there is a Vishnu form who are the real lords. If you study astrology, it's actually Krishna. Krishna graha grihitatma. Prahlad Maharaj was haunted by one graha called Krishna. Therefore other grahas didn't bother about him. Bada graha ne pakad liya usko. Krishna graha grihitatma. That is the word used by Shukadeva Goswami to describe Prahlad Maharaj. He was haunted by one planet called the Krishna planet. Then all other nine planets, they are just silent witness. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.